And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the gospel reading and to those simple words of Jesus in chapter 14 of John, verse 6, where Jesus simply says, I am the way. I am the way. And you know, when we consider those words in the context, Jesus is emphasizing that he is the only way. I can remember years ago, me, the farm boy, small town kid, and 17 years old, and my oldest brother was coming into Denver for a conference, and so I drove from Nebraska to meet him in Denver. So 17-year-old farm kid driving in the big city for the first time, going down I-25, headed south, didn't have GPS back in those days, of course, and had my notes there laying on the seat, and wouldn't you know, I missed the exit. So go past the exit, I think, okay, I can get off at the next exit, just go over the bridge, turn around. Well, for some reason, there was some kind of a quirky road system there, and I had to turn on to another street, and it was three lanes, and there was this little knoll, and I'm going up the little knoll, and when I come to the top, there's three lanes of traffic coming right at me. I'm on a one-way going the wrong way. But guess what? There was a Safeway parking lot right there. Perfect timing. I just exited left right into the Safeway parking lot. Three lanes of traffic, seemed like went on for miles, went screaming by. And I thought the name was pretty appropriate. Safeway. We don't want to be on the wrong path in our journey of life upon this earth. And when Jesus says that he is the way, that should really get our attention, because he exclusively is the way that leads to salvation, that leads to heaven. There is no other way. However, from the time of the fall, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, humankind has been trying to find all kinds of ways, and our first parents tragically demonstrated a number of those different ways. And you may remember that right after Adam and Eve fell into sin, oh my gosh, we got to figure out a way, you know, to hide our sin. And so they thought if they covered their nakedness with fig leaves, that that would hide their shame and everything would be good. Well, we know that didn't work out. And so then it's like, oh my gosh, God is coming to approach us. He knows what we have done. He warned us that we will surely die. And so we better hide. And so Adam and Eve attempted to hide. And of course, God knows all things. He sees everything. We cannot hide from him. That way failed. And then confronted by God with that confrontation and dialogue that goes on, God is asking them what they have done. And now it's like, oh, what are we going to do? Well, they try another way, and that's the way of transference. I got to get this sin away from me, so I'm going to cast the blame on someone else. And so they attempted that. But as we know, none of those ways worked for them. But isn't it ironic that still to this very day, the same patterns go on in the world, and dare I say, in our sinful nature, that we're vulnerable to these, and we even stumble into them at times. And so, how about that? Covering ourselves with fig leaves. They thought they could do something. And so that's the mode of self-righteousness. Thinking that, okay, God, I have sinned against you, and now I've got to blaze a trail on my own to find my way back to you and to get that salvation that I so much desire. And of course, what that ends up doing is we design our own standards. God's law is too harsh. It's impossible to even begin to think that we can meet those standards. And so we like to water God's law down, to bring it to our level, where we can work with it And we fall into that trap of thinking somehow we contribute to this salvation. And so that becomes the journey, the way. And tragically, a lot of times what happens there is legalism. My way is better than your way, and you better get on track with me my way. And God's way is lost altogether. And talk about arrogance when we get into the realm of self-righteousness. And yet, who of us has not been affected by that and has not at times attempted to put that into practice? But what an arrogance. Because really, in doing that, we're denying even the need for the way, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. God, I've got another way. I can handle it. Thank you. And what an arrogant attitude. Well, then there's the hiding. The hiding. Okay, if I can't do it by contributing, then I gotta deal with this, and I guess I better just hide. And if I do things in the darkness, then not even God maybe will know. And we go to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 12 to 15. You see it up there on the screen. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. And then look at this, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths, there's a critical thing, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways. So this is intentional. God, I know what your way is, but I'm going to leave it because I like the dark way. And there's an arrogance in this. Look at that. Delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perversiveness of evil. Wow. Delight in evil. Rejoice in it. And notice what these paths look like then. They're crooked and are devious in their ways. So how often have we stumbled into thinking, well, I've got this secret sin or pet sin, but, you know, nobody else knows about it, so it's okay. But we can't hide from God. The darkness does not hide our sin from God. And God wants us to know that. So if we go down that road, it's a road of destruction, like self-righteousness. Well, then we come to the one of transference. And this maybe is the one that we most easily get caught up in as Christians. You know, where we get into the blame game. We got to try and blame someone else for whatever is wrong in our lives, instead of owning up to it and saying, God, I'm sorry, or saying to our brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm sorry. But in this transference mode, it's always the case that someone else is the problem. You know, I'm never the problem. It's always someone else is the problem. How often have you and I gone down that path? And yet, that path too leads nowhere else than to destruction. And it certainly is not the way, the path that our Lord Jesus Christ is guiding and leading us on, because in all of these, we are really denying Jesus Christ. We're really denying why He came, the need for Him to come, and the blessings that we receive in His coming. But when we look at the world, most reject the only way, Jesus Christ. I think John chapter 6, kind of interesting, and the numbering system came a long time after, but the mark of the beast is 666. This has nothing to do with that, but it's kind of interesting sometimes how the numbers in Scripture work. But Jesus, after, remember, He fed the 5,000, He was looked upon as the great miracle worker, the great physical worldly provider of things, and He had this massive following. And so as all of these people are following Jesus, Jesus confronts them in their sin because He knows they're not following Him for the right reasons. And so He begins to reveal to these huge multitudes of people that He is God. And that's very offensive to them. They think that's blasphemy. But He reveals to them ever so clearly and confesses, I am God, by the way. And it's only through Me that you have life. And then Jesus goes into speaking of his death in certain ways, which totally demolishes their hope because they're looking for an earthly king. And so here is the fallout, if you will, of Jesus confronting the multitudes. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You see, it's in our sinful nature that we really don't want Jesus to be who Jesus is. We want to have some of that glory ourselves, and we want to see that glory on earth now. But Jesus says, I am the way. And being the way, by the way, my kingdom is not of this world that I come to establish. I will be crucified. I will die. Will rise again. And by the way, Jesus says, I am God. My Father has sent me. Now, think about that. You have this huge following. And the majority of them walk away. And Jesus now there with his apostles, and he asked them this heart-wrenching question in verse 67. Do you want to go away as well? Jesus isn't forcing them to follow him in the exclusive way. He's giving them the option to walk away. But you know, it's interesting, Jesus, who also is not only the way, but the truth, meaning absolute truth, as Jesus clearly states it, he is one that can say it's either my way or the highway. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus can say that, and it's true, and it is righteous, but he confronts the crowds in this consumer mentality. They were following Jesus. Jesus, what are you going to give us next? You fed us miraculously. What are you going to do for us next? And it was this whole consumer mentality that I say we see very prevalent in the church still today. And how often do we ourselves stumble into it? Well, Jesus asked the disciples that question, do you want to go away as well? And he asks that to you and me today. And that's a good question to hear from Jesus. It's a good time for reevaluation in our own spiritual journey. It's a good time to consider, am I really on the path of Jesus Christ? Or did I choose to go the highway or the one way, the wrong way, which certainly isn't the safe way? It's going to kill you. Well, in Matthew 7:13, Jesus approaches this in another way in these words, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Wow, interesting. It's a very small path. That path is big enough, by the way, to handle the population of the world of all time. But Jesus emphasizing there's very few who want to be on this path. The majority of the world choose other paths. And the Lord gives us that choice. But if we choose to go down a road that is different from His, we hear all kinds of descriptions of that path. It's interesting when you look at this in Scripture. It's a slippery path. It's a crooked path. You're going to fall into a ditch. Boy, that's a nice journey, isn't it? Your future is you're going to fall into a ditch. The Lord describes the blind leading the blind. So going down a path that is not the one that Jesus has laid out, you're in spiritual blindness. And what kind of life do you think that is? I think that's a very enjoyable life. Certainly wasn't very enjoyable for me to go over the knoll and see three lanes of traffic coming right at me. But I think that's kind of what life is like when we deny Jesus Christ or we think we have a better way. It's really a life of misery and disappointment and despair and insecurity. And by the way, any path apart from Jesus Christ, contrary to the philosophies of the world today, is going to lead to hell. It's a done deal. If you are on any other way other than the way, our Lord Jesus Christ, you are not on the path of salvation, and you are not traveling a road that is safe. But the good news is, it's not too late. It's like me on that 3-lane one way coming the other way. The Lord provided the Safeway parking lot for me. And I could make it off of there and get out of the danger. Well, the same is true for the world today. The Lord has not returned as judge. It's a time of grace. It's a time of spreading the gospel. And you and I are honored and blessed to be able to do that. And I would hope that our answer would be the same as Peter's answer representing the apostles to that question. You do not want to leave me too, do you? As Jesus asked the disciples. And look at what Peter says. Lord, to whom shall we go? Does this sound somewhat familiar? Yeah, part of our Alleluia verse, huh? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. So Peter giving a very detailed confession again. Jesus, I know the world denies that you are God, but we acknowledge and confess that you are God. And in being God, you are the only way to salvation, to eternal life. And he is. That's why Jesus came. You know, this gospel account was on Maundy Thursday, just a few hours before Jesus went through the brutality of the cross. And what did Jesus say in earlier in the gospel, John 14, 2 and 3? My Father's house, don't you love this passage? So familiar, we know it well. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would have I told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You see, there's only one way because Jesus was the only one who could prepare the way. And the way that he prepared the way was going through death, receiving all of God's wrath and punishment for sin on the cross, and then rising victoriously from the dead. That's quite a preparation, isn't it? And it's one that only one person could do, the greatest gift ever given, God's only begotten Son, the greatest gift that you and I relish in, the gift of Jesus' life, the very Son of God, our Lord, our King, who died for us and for all people, and who rose again, and who lives and reigns. This is the way. 100%. And there's no doubt, when everything is on what Jesus has done, and can you imagine how miserable life would be if God said, well, I'll prepare 90%, but you have to do 10%. We'd always wonder, did I do the full 10%? It would be a life of total insecurity. But Jesus doesn't say that. Says, I go to prepare the way. 100%. I am, Jesus says, exclusively the only way. Now we know that. And we're blessed to wake up every morning as we did again on this beautiful day to know the way. And to be here in worship. And I'd like to conclude with the last verse, Jeff, that I have up there, the Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. And look at these words. Let us hold unswervingly. You see, when we're on the path, it's not a crooked path. It's a straight path that our Lord guides us down. We don't have to swerve around, bouncing off the walls, wondering where we're going. But look at this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. There's the 100%. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, and not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now on Mother's Day, mothers, God bless you, because in what I've observed in ministry for over 30 years, it's the mothers that are leading a lot of times in this. Guys, that doesn't fare well with us, right? Now, some of us hopefully are taking that leadership role, but what I see oftentimes, it's the mothers. And you are the nurturers. And God bless you. God praise God for family structure and the way that He has structured it. But oftentimes it's mom saying, we're going to church this morning. And it's mom getting the kids out of bed. But look at what you are doing, mothers, for your family. As you bring your children and as you drag your husband kicking and screaming, we're going to worship God. Because why? We need it. We need this nurturing. It's not an option with God. But He gives it because we need it. And to encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. We don't know if the Lord's going to return today. It could be today, next year. It could be several thousand years. Only God knows. But we should be prepared every moment of every day, right? And think about all the people who woke up this morning and they don't have a clue of what the way is. And they're like me, this young kid driving in Denver for the first time on a one-way going the wrong way. And they don't know it like I didn't know it. You know, it would have really been wonderful if somebody would have been standing out there by the highway when I turned onto it and said, "Hey, that's a one-way! You know, there's a Safeway over there. Get in the parking lot." That would have been awesome. But you know, that's what our mission really is. Jesus is the only way. When you're at work or at play, when in your families, wherever you are with other people, if you see and know of someone who's going the wrong way, it's not complicated. Just tell them. Just show them the sign that Jesus is the only way. In His precious name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who has prepared the way for us. Amen.